Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Vandal Theory, a podcast about science and research at the University of Idaho. I'm Lee Cooper, science writer and editor here at U of I, and I am here with my co-host, Kyle.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kyle Fonenskiel, media relations manager here at U of I.
All right. So, Kyle, today I want to ask you a question that actually our interviewee asked me while we were talking, and I want to see what your answer is. First off, I need you to close your eyes and picture a farmer in your mind. What do you see?
Okay. Eyes closed, I see a trucker hat, plaid flannel, blue jeans, cowboy boots, probably skin tanned from the sun.
All right. And is this a male farmer or a female farmer?
It's a cowboy farmer. This is a male farmer in my head.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to Colette DePhelps today, and she is an area extension educator who specializes in community food systems, and she's going to actually talk to us about the female farmers across the Gem State and how extension is really working to support this community of farmers. So we're going to go with the female farmers today.
Okay. I'm excited to listen.
All right, let's go. Hello, Colette. How are you doing today? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Can you introduce yourself real quick for everyone?
Sure. I'm Colette DePhelps. I'm with the University of Idaho Extension. My position is to support the development of community food systems and support small farms, primarily in the 10 northern counties of Idaho. And I do have some statewide responsibilities as well.
Aces. So can you tell me about one of your big projects that you're working on, Idaho Women in Ag?
Sure. This project is really focused on understanding and supporting women farm operators. And so when I'm talking about farm, I'm talking about farm and ranch operators. Oftentimes, though, you'll hear us say farmers. Sometimes ranchers stand up and say, well, wait a minute, I'm not a farmer, I'm a rancher. But today, when I talk about farmers, I'm talking about farmers and ranchers. So our project is really designed to look at ways to support women farmers and ranchers in Idaho. And to do that, we needed to do some research on to understand women better and what their challenges were. And then we translate that into educational programs to support them.
Well, that sounds excellent. Can you talk about, I guess I don't have a really great idea in my head of kind of the state of women in ag. Are there a lot? Are there a little? Are they in charge of the farms? Are they working on I don't have a very good idea in my head. Can you set that up for me?
Sure. So in Idaho, we have over 17,000 women farmers and ranchers. So when you look at the total number of farmers and ranchers in Idaho, about 39% of them are women. And we know this from the 2017 Census of Agriculture, which is conducted by the U.S. Department of Ag. And then when you think about who's in charge, so we call a farmer that does most of the decision-making on the farm, and these farmers self-designate within the census.
Okay.
Call them to be the primary farmers or the lead farmers. So about 45% of Idaho's lead farmers are women, and that's almost 11,000 farmers. So what you can think about in Idaho agriculture is we have a lot of farms, and almost half of those farms are led by women.
That's interesting. I think I probably fall into the category of classically when I picture farmer, I'm picturing Old MacDonald or something like that. And obviously that's a shift I need to make in my own mind of like I need to broaden my definition, obviously.
Yeah, I think that concept is something that we often think about. I like to ask people, think of a farmer. And then tell me what you think of. What is that image that comes to your mind? And our iconic farmer in America has been a man. But women have always had a very strong role in agriculture in the U.S.
So I know one of the reasons you guys started this project is, at least at the point of when you started it, the USDA did define women farmers as a socially disadvantaged and underserved group. What does that mean in reality?
Well, this is really a legal definition that comes out of the Farm Bill. So I do want to say that while USDA says women farmers are socially disadvantaged in some of their programs. That might not be how a woman farmer identifies herself. But what it really means is that they've had less access to education and resources coming out of specific programs. So when you look at USDA, USDA has hundreds of programs. In some of those programs, like those offered by the Farm Service Agency, which really focuses on farm loans, or the Risk Management Agency that focuses on crop insurance programs or other types of commodity insurance programs, in those programs, they found that women have been underserved. And so having this designation really puts a spotlight on shifting funding to prioritize making sure that they are served as programs are implemented now and in the future.
I kind of want to delve a little deeper. Does this equate to less ability to start a farm, or less ability to actually just straight up bring in income?
It does, absolutely. So we have a phenomenal research team that we work with on this project, and they've identified that there's a 151% difference in net farm income between men and women's earnings. So thinking about this, for every dollar a woman makes on the farm, a man makes $2.50, which then ultimately is that farm operations are one of the most gender unequal occupations in the United States. And our research team was really able to delve down into why that happens. And so part of why that happens is because women have historically had barriers to being recognized as real farmers. And some of those barriers, like access to land, women were literally legally hindered to be able to access land through laws and tax code up until 1982. There was
incredible.
A tax code that was changed in 1982, and that tax code made it difficult for women to inherit a farm owned with her husband. So there were these hidden things. In addition to thinking about how farm succession plays out, oftentimes, we've had a historical patrilineal agricultural system where the idea has been that men were going to inherit and operate the farm. And that could actually lead to women not being educated in the farm operation to the level that boys were. So girls getting less on-farm education, on-farm experience than their male siblings or cousins, because there was this idea in terms of our culture that men were going to inherit the farm. And this has not gone away. I received in my email from, and this was from the Midwest, not from Idaho, an announcement about a farm succession program offered in the Midwest. And the picture, and this was last week, the picture was a grandfather, a father, and a son. Hmm. And that's really indicative of that unconscious gender bias about farm succession. So all of this plays into women having less access to the resources, the land, and the capital equipment that is necessary to actually get some economies of scale in agriculture and to be more profitable.
And yet, I grew up in Montana, and it's not like the women don't have anything to do on the farm. They're not sitting there twiddling their thumbs. They are an active part of that business. Can you talk about just kind of historically the roles that women have played on the farm?
Sure. And I can say that we know roles women have on the farm from people's experience and from the qualitative data. But I do want to point out that it wasn't until 1978 that the U.S. Census of Agriculture actually gathered information on gender. The number of farmers and how you could identify farmers in the census has changed over time. So the richest data we have is the data we've worked with in 2017. And I just want to set that up because there is a lot of research out there, but there's not a lot of numbers because a lot of things have changed. Tracking trends is difficult when you don't have consistent data collection methods. But what we do know is that women have always been part of the farm, that oftentimes they've taken care, had primary care for children, as well as a lot of household duties. And within that have also then been taking care of like younger livestock, smaller livestock, done seasonal like field work on the farm, depending on what those other responsibilities they've had, but always integral. And then women have had a lot of responsibility for the bookkeeping and some of the marketing components of the farm, which in a business is a huge piece of the farm business. So when we think about farming and ranching, oftentimes we think about what's happening in the field or out on the ground, but there's a huge amount of that business that happens outside of tilling or moving cattle or feeding animals or harvesting crops. And women have played a lot of leadership roles and put a lot of time into some of those other aspects of the farm business.
So as part of your study, you did work with focus groups and surveys of Idaho's female farmers. Can you talk about basically what the take-home messages were from that? What did you learn?
Sure. One of the things that we learned is that farm women in Idaho are diverse. We did 7 focus groups with over 50 women across Idaho, and we saw that women have very, very different ways that they have actually come into farming. And so we call that diverse pathways into farming. They might have married into farming. They may have grown up on a farm. They may have decided that that was their vocation in life and bought land and started their operation. So very diverse pathways. But across women that we talked to, they both valued farm as a business and a lifestyle. And many of the women who had children saw raising children on a farm as a really important experience for their children and one of the huge values they saw in agriculture. Again, as I mentioned, historically, women have very different roles on the farm. So we talked to women who were 100% responsible for every piece of the farm, to women that are working with a farm partner, or women that are focusing on those bookkeeping roles. But one of the things that we did see is that many women said they were primarily responsible for child care or elder care. And I think elder care is something that we don't often think about when we think about the roles women play on a farm. We also found that women really enjoy learning from other people, whether that's a family member or working with other farmers. Like all farmers, they love hands-on experience, and that they really appreciate having learning opportunities close to home. They do share challenges. Across scale, there's challenges around farm profitability, time constraints, and then also access to labor to help them on the farm. Whether that's a really small, intensive market garden, or you're working with hundreds of acres in a cattle operation or thousands of acres in a dryland wheat scenario. Labor is a real challenge in this industry.
So what are some of the, I don't know, solutions is the right term, but some of the things that the farming community can do, whether it's USDA or our extension centers, can do to help?
Well, I do think that there's a whole number of things that could be done in the policy arena. And some of those things are really looking at how do we support agriculture through the programs that we fund? Are there ways that we can increase like women's access to land by having policies that support programs where women can have access to funding to purchase farmland? Or we might be looking at even policies that look at childcare, and can we support care from other families or neighbors in these very rural communities at off hours? What are some of those types of structures and how we take the funding that we as a country prioritize for agriculture and target it towards some specific needs women have? In terms of what we at University of Idaho Extension can do, is we can really look at how we offer our education programs. Some of the things that I think are really important is to understand that women farms are diverse and the ability to access programs is diverse. And so we need to have a variety of online programs that are offered on different days of the week at different times of day, really looking at trying to avoid some of those times where children go to school or come home from school. Little things like that can make a lot of difference around accessibility. We also really need to look at changing that picture of who the farmer is. And part of the way we can do that is in extension is being mindful when we bring in educators and partners that we have women as those educators and partners. there's so many women within agriculture as technical assistance providers or as other experienced farmers that we can bring as co-educators. And that's really important. So women see themselves and men see women as leaders in this industry.
Was there anything specific, like topic-wise, that you found that these women were interested in getting a little further education?
Yes. So really across all scales of agriculture, we found, and this was in a survey that we did. So in addition to the focus group, we actually did a web-based survey. So an email went out. Over 480 people responded, women farmers across Idaho. And what they told us is that they really wanted their farms to be either a primary or secondary source of income for their family. And to make that doable, they really needed more education around farm business management. And really, how do we look at enterprises that can be profitable and generate wealth? So in terms of extension, we can really look at what are some of the enterprises that we see do have a higher return on that investment? And can we provide educational programs around those types of enterprises? And so when I say enterprises, we know like fruit production can be a higher income option, or, you know, agritourism enterprises being incorporated into the farm, whether those are farm stays or tours or dinners. Those types of programs generally help really supplement farm income. Helping people identify marketing strategies that are super effective. One of the things that we did last year is we partnered with a very experienced woman farmer who is a professional marketer to do a digital marketing class online. And it really helped people refine their message and then understand how to use social media and websites and email newsletters to capture their audience and be able to keep that market fresh.
So does that mean that for some of these courses, you're maybe doing some targeted outreach, specifically trying to focus on women?
Yes. For sure. In Idaho, we have quite a few extension educators that are trained Annie's Project facilitators. And Annie's Project is a national curriculum really designed for women farm operators. And it focuses on all areas of what we call risk management. So it focuses on the legal environment, the marketing, the human resources, which is, as I mentioned, really important. How do you work with labor? How do you find labor, manage people? And it also looks at a lot of business components. So when we think about a program like Annie's Project, one of the things that's really important is to make sure it's serving the specific needs of that geographic population of women producers. So in that program, we put together a steering committee of women farmers and ranchers and asked them, what are your priorities in these topic areas? And then pull in the best speakers we can, again, elevating women voices, women professionals in these areas whenever possible, to put together a program that is customized for their needs. And so that's one of the things I think it's really important, whether you're in extension or you work for a nonprofit that serves farmers, or if you're in a government agency, is that you go out and you ask women farmers and ranchers what it is they need, and then develop programs that are really targeted so they can be most effective.
So we're getting on towards the end here. What is maybe something that you want our listeners to walk away with, something to send them off with?
Women are a really important part of agriculture in the U.S. and Idaho. And I want people to really understand that when you look at national numbers, there's actually percentage-wise more women farmers in Idaho than nationally. And those women are diverse. And so the strength of our agricultural economy is really tied in with women farmers and ranchers. And we have an incredible opportunity to bring programming that meets their needs and expands their business environment, their profitability, and focuses on wealth generation. Because with wealth generation and really good succession planning, we can have that next generation of people on the land, and that's really a priority for us.
How is the best way, if any of our listeners are some female farmers, to get a hold of you? What's the best way to get a hold of the program?
Well, Whether or not you're a female farmer, I mean, our programs are open to all farmers and I think are valuable regardless of gender. So you can go to idahowomenandag.org. That's our web pages that focus on our programming. And there you can actually sign up for a monthly newsletter that we do that is for Idaho women in agriculture. And we highlight resources and educational programming that really target some of the priorities that have come out of our focus groups in our statewide survey.
All right. Well, Colette, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. It's been fun.
All right, Kyle, what did you think?
That was great. While Colette was talking, I just kept thinking about some a quote that my friend who hosts the Latino Card podcast in Boise, his name is JJ Saldana, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says to be something or to do something, you have to see yourself there. You have to see people who look like you work in that role. You have to see a future for yourself there. And I think that rings true in a lot of different places. And I think a lot of what Colette was saying was that this rings true in farming and ranching, that you need to see yourself there to be there, and how important this representation is. And I think it seemed like kind of an innocuous detail, but I think that email promotion that she had mentioned really struck a chord with me, because what may seem, you know, small, just a photo of three farmhand men and a family to represent farmers, I think it says a lot by the people it doesn't include. And I think when you don't have diverse representation in media, folks can be discouraged from entering the field if they don't see people who look like them working and prospering in that field. They may not see a future for themselves there, and it might discourage others who are already there by, you know, not acknowledging their existence and their work in the field. And this is across different industries, but I think that little email says a lot and really highlights the importance of the unconscious bias that we bring as communicators and readers of media. So I really appreciated that discourse.
Yeah, I was struck by the fact that I've had a lot of conversations about diversity over the last couple of years, and obviously in this case, Colette was focusing on women, but just so many of my conversations have revolved around the difference between saying, yeah, okay, we're going to be diverse now, to actually going through the actions that make it so that diversity is supported. So whether you're talking about women or people of color or LGBTQA communities, you actually have to make the active choice to figure out what that community needs and actually support their needs. So in this case, it's making sure there's childcare or that it's at the proper times so that the women farmers are available. Whatever those may be, it does take intention to actually support diversity in each one of these fields. So it was just great to hear her talk about how Extension's doing that here as well. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening to The Vandal Theory. You can visit our website, uidaho.edu/vandaltheory, if you want to learn more about our research. You can also email us at vandaltheory@uidaho.edu if you have any questions or comments. And of course, we're on most of the podcasting platforms out there, so you are welcome to rate and review us, and we'd love it if you'd subscribe as well. I'm Lee Cooper.
And I'm Kyle Fonlandseal.
Thanks for listening, everyone.